for our third installment of Advent this morning, if you would go with me to the book of Psalm number 30. Psalm 30. Yeah, y'all indulge me this morning, beginning at verse number 1. The psalmist says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my feet to rejoice over me, my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and it was troubled. And I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord. I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it decline thy truth? Declare thy truth. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. I like that. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Hallelujah. I want to talk to us this morning from the subject, forever joy. Forever joy. I know that's hard for some people who might be heads hanging down a little bit today. They might have a little sorrow going on the inside. But the word will declare for us today that there is joy for the believer forever. In the midst of pain, suffering, tears, and some other confusion and whatnot, joy yet remains. There's joy forever. David here begins to talk to us about the joy. I really was trying to get to the end of the text, but there's so much that happens from the beginning there in verse 1 that you've got to get it all to understand why he's saying there at the end that you have turned my mourning glory to God. I just feel like dancing. I feel like running. I feel like shouting. I've got great joy because of what the Lord has done.
So David begins to share with us some things as he's celebrating the goodness of God. He's celebrating the good hand of the Lord in protecting him. He's been protected from scornful men. He's been protected, y'all, from a series of maladies, some sicknesses that have come on him. It would seem that he had been in danger from both from his sickness and both from his enemies. But here he is. He thanked God for protecting him, just protecting him with both of them. That in the midst of my thanksgiving, you can't be thankful if you're not joyful. Joy will cause you to tell the Lord, thank you.
Thank you.
My God. And so here it is. He says there in verse number 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Yeah. Ah, glory, right? Look. God, joy should jump in you right there. Yeah. He says that your enemy is not getting joy because of you. Yeah, because you know there's some folk, I'm completely off script, but there are some folk out there who really want to see you fail. They want you to flunk. They want you to hurt. They want you to be in pain. They want stuff to be not go well for you. And David says, I seen them. I know their name. I know where they live. I know all about them. But thank you, Lord, that you didn't let them clap hands. You didn't let them jump up and down. You didn't let them shout. So I'm going to shout. Glory to the Lamb of God. You didn't let my enemies rejoice over me. And he had plenty of enemies. It was plenty of them. He had enemies. They had some hiding. He had some out in the open. He had enemies, some in the church and some at home. He had enemies in his family, his own children. He had enemies, and God, thank you, that you didn't let them rejoice over me. So I'm going to skip everything I wrote right here and go on to the next one. He says, not just you protected me over the scornful men, but you protected me over these serious maladies. They're mentioned that both there were some spiritual and some physical sickness. Uh-huh. Y'all know you can be sick in your spirit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
David wrote about his spiritual sicknesses, and he thanks God for healing his body.
All right.
Healing him in the body,
yeah,
from the physical sicknesses. Look at what he says in right there, verse 2. Oh Lord my God. He's saying, oh Jehovah my Elohim. He says, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me.
Yeah.
Now the shout moment right there. He said, when I called you, you healed me.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God. That's some good stuff right there. The historical narrative, they don't tell us that David was sick. They don't write it out like that. But there's several psalms that indicate that upon occasion, he was brought low by sickness. Yeah, but in his sickness, David cried unto the Lord, Jehovah Elohim, the God of covenant and the God of creation. And evidently, his cry was not in vain. Have you cried to the Lord and your cry was not in vain? He thanked God for healing him in soul also. Look at it. He says, oh Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. I don't know if you've ever been so low before that it was an appear that you might as well have been buried 6 feet under. You ain't nothing wrong with you physically. But all something down on the inside has got you weighted down so heavy it seems like your feet are in quicksand. You can't get up. David said, you saved my soul from the grave. Yes, he says, you brought me my soul from the grave. Literally there. He said, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol. She all was Old Testament equivalent to Hades, the place of departed souls. It would seem that David's sickness was serious enough that he had been right at the point of death. God had brought him back. He said, I've been all the way to the edge, but he brought me back. The gates of hell had not prevailed against him. And he thanked God for healing him in his body. And he thanked God for healing him in spirit. Look at it. Because verse number 3, it says, thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. David, he said, I was almost dead. Yeah, his spirit had been congregating, y'all, with the spirit of those who had departed this life. But from the very midst of that company, God had reached down and lifted him up. He thanked God for that. He was well again in body, in soul, and in spirit. Glory to God. And so he talks about his protection. You protected my body. You protected my soul. You protected my spirit. And he begins to sing some praise. David, he strikes out a note of song. You know, Deacon Cole, how it is that you just go anywhere and you got a song. I heard you in the restaurant. You didn't see me. I saw you. I didn't see you. I heard you. I had to look up to see you. I knew it was you because praise had come off. Yes, he says, I got to sing a song of praise unto God, y'all. I got joy because of his character. Just his character. Look at it. Verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Now, that's a new note for many of us, that we're thanking God for his holiness. We usually give thanks for his love, his compassion, his grace, his mercy. You know, we know how to thank him for that. But here, David has a rare insight, y'all, because he begins to thank God for his holiness. Yeah, it is God's holiness. This is why it's crazy. It's God's holiness, which is the basis for his punishment.
All right. Yeah.
Did y'all hear what I said? David was thanking God for his holiness, knowing that his holiness is what leads to our punishment.
Yeah,
you know, because he's pure, he's holy. There's none like him. He doesn't have a hold iniquity within him. His holiness is a consuming fire, a blazing quality that makes even the shining seraphim have to hide their face. They cover their face with their wings. He's just that holy. They cover their face and they cry, holy, holy, holy. And David is thanking God for his holiness, knowing that his holiness is going to tear his tail up. Come on, y'all, stay with me. Yeah. But God's holiness is also the basis for his pardon. His holiness, he's so holy that he has to correct us. He has to pull us in. But his holiness is so great that he pardons us. That didn't they do nothing for y'all? He's got holiness that will whip you and holiness that will hug you. That ain't even here neither. That's what he does. He's able to pardon us even when we've done our best. Now, he doesn't say, you sorry, I'm sorry that you sorry, let's go on. That's not what he do. He has to pull us in. He has to check us. He finds a righteous way of bringing us in. He has a way of getting us to pardon. And y'all know what that way is? That way is the cross. He says, because I don't want to whip you so bad, I've got to find a way to pardon you for the great sin that you commit on regular. He says, I come to pardon you through the blood of Jesus the Christ. I've got to send for him. Why? Because he's holy and he wants you to be holy. And in order for you to be holy, you've got to be covered in the blood of Jesus. You've got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. You've got to be cleaned up, dug up from the greedy jaws of hell. And he took the blood of Jesus on an old rugged cross just to save you. He praises God for his character. But he also praises him for his compassion. I'm in verse 5 here. This is a little more familiar ground. Y'all understand this. You know how to praise him for compassion. He's got a generous way and a genuine way of doing it. Can't nobody do it like he can. Behind God's mercy is his holiness. Behind his holiness is his compassion. He said, look at it. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Hold up, push pause. His anger endureth but a moment. Nobody but God. Because you know y'all get mad and you stay mad forever. Some of y'all mad for stuff and you don't even know what you were mad about. I know I'm right about it. Still mad. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. In his favor is life. Now, if he's favoring you and favor leads to life, that's a mighty good God. Joy ought to well up on the inside of you that he favors you. Oh my God, thank you God for favor. Thank you for favor. Y'all don't even know and you don't even realize how much favor you have on your life. If you begin to look at the stuff that didn't happen, you look at the stuff you didn't lose, look at the way you didn't look, how you can, oh my God, favor. God, I thank you for favor. He said in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Yeah, sorrow is but a passing wayfarer. It's just something happened in the night. He just tarries for the night. When the dawn comes, he got to go. Joy takes his place. That's just some good stuff right there. It's significant, y'all, that God's day begins with an evening and ends with a morning.
Yeah.
All the way through the creation of chapter Genesis, we read the evening and the morning was the first day.
Yes,
and then the evening and the morning were the second. Every time it was the evening and the morning.
Uh-huh.
And right now we're hurrying through the nighttime of our experiences. The shadows often are dark and they're menacing, but the morning comes, and with it a day that will never end. He said there's going to be a morning that comes, a day that never ends. The night through which we are passing is only temporary. It's just a temporary thing. And when the morning comes, there will be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sadness. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more suffering. Just no more separation. No more sickness. Whew. One glimpse of his face, all sorrows are gone. Joy cometh in the morning. Anybody looking for morning? David has talked about his protection, and he begins to offer some praise. And there's some presumptions that he makes. One of the remarkable things about the Bible is that its characters speak with astonishing honesty about themselves. The Bible, people begin to talk about it. We don't talk about ourselves like we talk about other people. We don't put our business out there like they put their business out there. But David, here we come talk about, he remembers, y'all, his spiritual pride. Uh-huh. He look at verse number 6. He says, "And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." Ooh, we done got so high-minded that we all up there like that, chest all out all the time. "I shall never be moved."
Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah, I shall never be moved. Uninterrupted good fortune is a peril to our souls. It is doubtless what we would choose if we could sit down before a great smorgasbord of life and begin to pick stuff that we want to have. And we would make ourselves thoroughly unhappy because we get everything we want and then not want what we got. "In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved." And as soon as things go our way, we tend to become careless of spiritual things. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff begins to happen for us. Sometimes money cometh to you now.
Right.
Uh-huh. And the wonderful things just happen and you forget all about the spiritual stuff. That's what was going on here. This world is the sworn enemy of that kind of carrying on, of you getting some great stuff for you. Solomon's wise man of Israel prayed that God would give him neither wealth nor poverty. But do you know what? He ain't prayed that prayer until he had it all. He had everything. You can pray like that when you got it. But David, things had gone well for David, and in his prosperity, he said, "I shall never be moved." And that was a mistake. You know, a mistake. For then came the rough and the rude awakening. Everything went crazy. In David's case, it came through a sickness that brought him down to the doors of death and taught him not to trust in his circumstances. Yeah, that he says, I felt one way at one time that nothing gonna ever change until I come to find out stuff do change. that's how he felt. But he also wanted us to understand that he had forgotten some stuff there in verse 7. "Lord, by thy favor, thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." And now again, you need to be reminded of what God does in your life, for your life, just for you. Yeah. He had forgotten that his strength lay in God. Brothers and sisters, your strength is in God. It's not in yourself. It's not in your spouse. It's not in your family. It's not in your money. It's not in your job. Your strength is in God. Yeah, he had forgotten. His armies, his victorious armies had taken down the heights of Zion. He had folk that had done some great things. His warriors were always with him. They had planted his banners upon all kind of lands. I mean, this is David's territory. He had done a whole lot of things. The whole world was at peace. There was not a mention on the horizon which dared to take up arms against him. Wasn't nobody gonna come up against David? No, he was strong. The Lord had made him strong, and he had forgotten that. Uh-huh. When you get weak, yeah, remember that when you were strong, that the Lord was your strength. Yeah. Well, go back and get him, because you need strength now.
Amen.
The Lord is your strength. Yeah, We tend to forget stuff. We can't remember how wonderful things was when we was trusting God, when we was leaning and depending on Him, when we were talking to Him on the regular, when we were just blessing Him, giving Him glory, honor, and praise. When we begin to do stuff like that, oh, everything was going well. Look, when you find yourself going through like you're going through, check your relationship, your time you've been spending with God. Woo! See if there's any room to go back to see. Can you put him back on the calendar? Can you put him back on your schedule? Can you call him up in the morning? Can you call him up at night? Can you call him up in the middle of the day? He had forgotten that the Lord was his strength. Yes, we forget about that. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. We just did it last week. We have the Lord's Supper to remind us, oh my God, of God's constant voice saying to us, do this in remembrance of me. He's a constant reminder of the love of God that allowed the Son of God to die on a cross of Calvary for the children of God. Remember that He died just for you. He said, remember me, remember me. And so he begins to talk about his spiritual pride, y'all. Every now and again, y'all need to talk about your own spiritual pride. But he's honest, y'all. He's real honest. He keeps on in that verse, and he's so honest about his pride. He also is honest about the rebuke that comes along with it. He says, thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. That's a strong word, trouble there. It's an expression of confusion or helplessness or just terror. He said, I was jacked up. And that's all the Lord needs to do is to hide his face. And the world gonna fall apart. For the Lord to hide his face, of course, it's just a real figure of speech. It suggests that God is just looking away. He's just looking the other way, leaving us prey for the bullies of life to get at us, but held back because of God's watchfulness. Can I say it like I feel it? He says that what happens when God looks away, because you keep acting a monkey fool. He looks away so that the bullies of life, bills, exes, enemies, debt, the bullies of life can get at you to cause you misery, but I'm holding them back so they can't take you out. It's as if I'm looking away, but I got my eyes still on me.
Yes, amen.
All you can see is the back of my head, but I got eyes. It's the back of my head. Yeah, he says, you hid your face, and I was troubled. But the Lord was watching me all the time. So now, this is what happens. He has learned his lesson. I wish y'all would learn the lessons of life. Learn your spiritual lessons just like you learn them books in school. He says, I learned my lesson, and so I had to go into prayer. He realized that his safety lies in keeping in constant touch with God. And the way to do that was through prayer. You got to stay in touch with God. You got to stay in prayer with God. And David was a great man of prayer. And so look at his approach. He says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto thee, Lord, I made supplication. What a wonderful God we have. Some people are very quick to take offense. You know, y'all got to stay in the text. Because David just talked about the way he was carrying on. And then he talked about how the way the Lord was carrying on. Turned face on him. He said, I was terrible. And he said, when I realized what was going on, I began to holler back at God. He said, I began to pray to him. I cried to the Lord, to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Now, anybody else, when we snub like that, they not trying to come to your rescue in any kind of quick kind of manner.
Right.
You slight them or snub them, even if it's unintentional. They go off the deep end. they, you know, forget about, if you forget to invite them to something, and you ain't really mean forget to invite them, but, you know, you forgot to invite them, and then don't let them find out that they didn't get invited, and then you try to make, you do all you can to make up for it. I'm so sorry. It wasn't, you know, don't, that's the worst thing you can do, because now all they're going to do is wait and make sure that you don't miss them the next time that you go. It's just stress. It's just stress. It'll take years for you to try to gain back whatever it was that got lost. Ooh, God, suppose God was like that. Keep walking. Suppose God was like that. Suppose that if we slighted him, ignored him like we do, if we forget to consult him or even deliberately plan something apart from him, because we do that, y'all. Suppose he was touchy and quick to take offense, harder to bring it back together than he became just offended. Y'all know we do stuff to offend God. And he doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't snub us. It's a blessing that God is not a touchy God. Yeah. Suppose he snubbed us when we came back saying, I'm sorry. You know. Thank God he's not like that. When we come back to God and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He brings us in. He says, I cried unto the Lord. To thee, O Lord.
Yes.
He knew that he served a wonderful God. He knew that he served a mighty God. I cried unto the Lord and I made, look, he said, I cried to him and I made supplication.
Right.
I began to give petition. I began to say some stuff to him. Mm-hmm. Look what he says, y'all. He offers his appeal to him. I want to call it an argument. He begins to argue with God. I'm in verse 9. Now, this really blessed my life when I was looking at this right here. It says, what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? He is making supplication to God. And he says, I'm talking to you, God. I know I done messed up. I know I got some crazy stuff going on in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But what good is it if you're going to kill me?
Right.
Is the grave going to praise you? Is the dust going to give you glory? I mean, that's some relationship right there. When you begin to talk to God like that, when you begin to talk to him, when you know who you are in him. And David was a man of God. David was one who was a warrior. He's one who spoke for God. He was one who praised God, one who worshiped God. He says, I do good by you most of the time. What's going to happen when you bury me? Push pause. Now, can you talk to God like that on your behalf? Have you been such a worshiper? Have you been such a praiser? Have you been one who has been delivering the good news of God so much so that you could say, look, I'm an asset to your ministry. I'm an asset to the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
Well, put me in the ground. You walk by the graveyard if you want to. Ain't no corpses out there giving no praise. The dust isn't speaking. He says, Lord, I'm more used to you living than dead. That's David's argument. Yeah. He says, I'm better to you alive than dead. And so he says here, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. It's a great idea to use the power of persuasion sometimes with God, not because he needs to be convinced, but because we do. We need to be reminded of who we are and what it is that we do. You need to remind yourself, not God, that you do worship him, that you do love him, that you do praise him. You've got to be reminded of yourself that you have been one who has been out there trying to bring others to the kingdom of God. Yeah, you know, it was George Mueller who was out there. He was reminding all the orphans. He was out there leading. He said, you're the father of the fatherless. You know, you got to make something happen here. It's not about me. It's about you, God. Yeah, he approaches God like that. But then he begins to tell what God has done in his life. Yeah, his life, y'all, had been changed. Just like the Grinch in the play. You ought to come see it. I'm just playing. His life had been greatly changed, and he had some evidence. There's some evidence in text right here that it had changed from within. Look at verse 11, and I'm close to through. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Oh, what a change has come over me. Transformation has taken place where? In his heart. Yeah, God has taken away his inner gloom and given him instead an inner glow. Oh my God, he's letting it shine. Sighs have given way to songs, and songs has set his feet into motion that make him want to dance. Ooh, the song, I can't just sing, I'm going to sing and dance. That there is evident also evidence without. There's something on the outside, not just dancing, but thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Yeah, he said put off. It's put off. You put off. That word literally means to torn open. Thus thou hast torn off my sackcloth. You know, folk go to mourning, they got on their mourning clothes. It's sackcloth and ashes. They all covered up and stuff. They don't want nobody really see them looking like they're looking when they're looking like they're looking. And he said, and you know, the gods of the heathens and the other people that you know too out there, they really want to see people going through like they're going through in their sackcloth and ashes. They want to see them mourning and having long faces. They want to see them people like that. And even some good saints find themselves in that kind of condition. But he says, you have snatched it off. Yeah. Glory to God. You have snatched off my sackcloth. Yes. And you have girded me with gladness. I was sad. I was hung down. I was going through. No, all of a sudden, looked like the light came on and for smiles returned to my face. And oh, hands was going up. I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You've caused joy to come up on my heart. He said, God, I need you to tear off the sackcloth. Some of y'all need to talk to God like that. Yeah. Tear off my sackcloth. Yeah. Gird me with gladness. And not only had his life been changed, it had been channeled in a whole nother direction. It says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. He said, I want you to snatch off my sackcloth, gird me with gladness, and I'm going to sing praises unto thee. Because look, y'all, he says that when the Lord took off his sackcloth, girded him with gladness, it caused a glory to come upon him. That there was, we're not talking about the glory of God. We're talking about the glory of David, that he had a glow. There was the glory that came upon him, and that he says, now I'm going to turn this glory of mine into praise and worship of you. I'm going to sing praise to you. I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to bless his name. I'm not going to hush up. I'm going to get louder and louder and louder. I'm going to praise thee. I'm going to give you thanks, the Bible says, forever. John Bunyan in the Pilgrim's Progress, I talk about that a lot, tells us of a man with a muck rake in his hand. He ever grubbing the muck and the mire from the earth, not knowing that over his head there hovered a crown of glory. And because he never looked up, he didn't know that glory was on him. David said, I looked up. He said, I dropped my muck rake and I began to look up and began turning over and over in my mind the memories of the fears and the things that were going on with me, and I saw the crown. That was my glory. And I grabbed it with both hands. He says, I will give thanks unto thee forever. Oh, what a way to come out. He says that I'm going to praise you, give you thanks forever, because you have crowned me with glory. I'm going to give it back to you. Would you give God the glory that's due unto his name?
Hallelujah.
Joy is yours forever. You have a crown of glory forever. It's yours. Somebody say it's mine. It's yours. Glory to God. God, I thank you forever. Amen.
Amen.